College football game time. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth, John Chuckery on this Saturday morning. First day of the college football bowl season. We'll talk some bowls coming up in about 40 minutes. 20 minutes from now, we'll get into a little bit of that world-famous buy-or-sell segment. I think Brian Gebhardt may take part in a little buy-or-sell action today since Randy McMichael is making his way
And the Celebration Bowl.
Yeah, in preparation for North Carolina A&T and Alcorn State today. So, John, let's look. I think if there's been one overriding theme this week in college football, it wasn't Kyler Murray winning the Heisman. That talk kind of went away pretty quick after that was done. It wasn't the coaching moves or any sort of injury news that came out this week or potential injury news that came out this week. It was the talk of the eight-team playoff that Nicole Auerbach, who writes for The Athletic, she got a couple of folks, including Wisconsin Athletic Director Barry Alvarez, to comment. And Alvarez said that everyone has the same feeling. Expansion is inevitable when you can do it, and I think we need to serve more people. I think four was the right way to get started, in my opinion. We need to take a look at adding a lot more teams into the playoffs, giving more opportunities.
Well, and Bob Bowlesby, Big 12 commissioner, was
the other one that came out.
Yeah, he was the other big voice in all of that. And then, of course, as soon as they went to Greg Sankey and people like that, they were like, Jim Swofford, right, the ACC commissioner, they were like, yeah.
Here's my question for you, because it seems like the ACC and the SEC are not in favor of this. You know, Dabo Swinney came out this week. There was an article in the South Carolina paper where, you know, Dabo said, he goes, look, I love it. I think he called it the Funky Cole Medina Poland Weed Eater Bowl. Mm-hmm. And he said, I love these, you know, these bowl games. I don't want to see them go away. I don't want to see them diminished. I think four is a great number for the playoff, and we need to leave this alone. So the ACC seems to be against the idea of expansion. The SEC is certainly against it. You had Bob Bowlesby of the Big 12 speak out. Larry Scott from the Pac-12 should be. I don't know that he's commented on it publicly, but if anybody should be against, or I'm sorry, should be for,
of course,
the expansion, it would be the Pac-12, along with the Big 12. So you got two going no, two going yes. Where does the Big 10, as the fifth member of this,
consider that their champ has not been in the game the last 3 years? Well, here's the reality of the playoff, Chris. Here's what's not going to happen, okay? And I want to make sure I'm crystal clear when I say this, Chris, of what's not going to happen. The world of college football is not going to just start adding more college football games with no kind of repercussion. What I mean by that is just taking everything as it is and start adding to it. You're going to have to tell me about player safety. You're going to have to tell me about do teams play 12 or 13 games. You're going to have to tell me about are kids going to start getting some kind of compensation, additional compensation to play in these games. There's going to be some kind of outside effect with this, Chris. This is not going to be – it sounds great to just say, well, yeah, let's go to 8-team playoff, okay? The top teams in the country play – 15 games already?
Now you're going to ask them to play 16.
Or 17. You know, I mean, depending on what you want to do with a playoff system. So you're not just going to start adding more games onto. And the season's already long. So you can't tell me that these are student athletes either when you're playing to February in college football. I mean, you can't have it all ways. You can't tell me player safety. You can't tell me about that they should be happy to get scholarships. You can't tell me about academics. None of that fits with the idea of it just taking what we have and adding more to it. Just doesn't work that way. You're going to have to give something up. Conference championship game, a 12th game, academic calendar, payment to players, player safety. Something has to give. So it sounds great, theory, because I know Fricky will go on there, well, wouldn't it be great to see these matchups and all that? Okay, that's fantasy football. There are real ramifications that come with, Chris, where are you playing these games? What's all the things that go into adding more games on your schedule.
If you expand the playoff, one, I think you have to include some home sites into this for the higher seeded teams. I don't think you can ask a fan base to travel, what, three times in a row?
Sure.
I mean, I just don't think you can do that. Not with the costs that are associated with these games. Otherwise, it ends up turning into something like the Super Bowl, where nobody there is really a fan, or the number of true fans are very small, and it's a whole bunch of corporate tickets and seats that get sold.
So to throw that to your point, so what does that do for the Rose Bowl and the Peach Bowl and everything else? Because now Ohio State's not in the Rose Bowl. You're telling me that, and I'm not disagreeing with you, I'm just saying, okay, so it's, I don't know, what would have been Georgia, Ohio State, or something like that would have been in an 18 playoff. That would have been one game or something. Let's just, for argument's sake, say,
sure.
Okay, so let's say you do play that game on one of the campuses, okay? So that means the Sugar Bowl doesn't see Georgia and the Rose Bowl doesn't see Ohio
State.
Well,
they wouldn't see them in that first week, which would be, I guess, this week, if you take a look at some of what has been tossed around, the idea that you would play the first round of the playoffs would be this week,
right,
and then you have the break until after.
But that still only leaves you with the four games, though,
right?
Or with the four teams at that point,
right?
So you still have the same system of two locations in a national title game. So who's going to be in the Rose Bowl? Who's playing in the Rose Bowl?
That's
okay.
Again, you think fair
the,
point.
You think the Rose Bowl is willing to take the fourth best Pac-12 team against the fifth best Big Ten team and say, well, we got our matchup? Or do they want freaking Ohio State or Michigan? I mean, that's the other thing, too. How are you going to tell those games? How are you going to tell the Sugar Bowl, guess what? We'll give you an SEC team, except that it's going to be Mississippi State. You know, Alabama, LSU, whatever. Those teams are going to be in our playoff, or Georgia's in our playoff. You're not going to get one of those teams, so you're going to end up with Auburn.
Or you go into some sort of bowl rotation, kind of like what they have now,
well, yes,
and you're only going to host
right
it once every
But if I do it your system where somebody's got to playing a home game, and then you still only end up with the two site location games, and you're going to end up with a lot of very mediocre Peach Bowls and Sugar Bowls and Fiesta Bowls, to where third and fourth conference teams are now, you know, the Orange Bowl is Boston College and give me another team, you know, Missouri.
Right. So how many coaches do you think would be, what percentage of coaches would be in favor of this? Because I know, you know, when they expanded the NCAA basketball tournament, a lot of that was driven by coaches. Because basketball coaches, they want to be able to say, hey, we were a tournament team this year.
Right.
And that helps when when you're recruiting. It helps when you got to do the rubber chicken circuit during the summer and you go out and make your talks on the caravan tours, when you can say, well, you know, we got into the NCAA tournament and yada, yada, yada. A lot of these guys have bonuses in college football built into their contract where you reach the college football playoff, it's an extra, you know, 50 grand, half million, whatever the number is. You get a little extra jingle. I think the college basketball coaches drove the expansion of the NCAA basketball tournament. So what's the football coach's role now in where this thing's headed in college football?
Well, obviously programs already use the how many bowl. I mean, go over here to North Avenue. I mean, they'll tell you how many bowl games they were in for all those years and things like that. And coaches get bonuses for all that. I don't think there's as many of the top coaches that would go for expanding the playoff. Like, why would Nick Saban want to expand the playoff?
Yeah, why would the SEC want to see
Dabo Sweeney? Yeah, why would Dabo Sweeney want to expand the playoff? He's in a perfect position. I mean, with all due respect, be better. I mean, and what I like about this system for me, Chris, I'm a believer that losing has to have consequences, that there has to be some kind of consequence to losing. And Georgia faced it. You know, what's the point of the SEC title game if both those teams are getting in anyway?
Yep.
What's the point? Just seeding. I mean, that's all it becomes. So not that it wasn't a great game and all that, but doesn't it take away from some of that game, Chris, if it's like, all right, well, they're going to be playing in 2 weeks anyway, 4 weeks anyway. I mean, that's the reality of it.
No, I come at it from this angle. What's best for college football? because that's the sport that I, you know, follow the closest. It's the sport that I enjoy the most. What's going to be best for the game? I like the four-team playoff. I like it the way it is. If you look to expand to eight, and I think this is one of those rare years that you get once every so often where we have, you know, probably legitimately, six, seven teams maybe? That you know, if you want to include UCF in it, let's say seven teams. Mm-hmm. Typically, though, the team who finishes sixth or seventh is not a team that's worthy of national championship consideration.
Yeah, like Washington. Like take Washington this year. Do you want to see Washington and Alabama?
Take Michigan. That's your number eight team. I mean, do you really think Michigan should be a national, you know, should be in contention for a national championship?
After what Ohio State did to them? Considering that they lost to Ohio State and Notre Dame, so they should get rewarded because of that? I mean, it's the same argument with Georgia. Should Georgia be rewarded by losing to Alabama and LSU? So the two best teams that you played, you lost to, but hey, you're still in the playoff because you beat Missouri and Kentucky and Vanderbilt and Tennessee and, right? I mean, that's what you're saying at the end of the day is, I'm going to reward Georgia for beating Vandy and Kentucky and Missouri. I'm not going to reward you. You're not going to get penalized for losing to LSU and Alabama, but you are going to get rewarded for beating Tech, Vandy, Kentucky, UMass, whoever they played, the other scrubs that they had this year. You know what I mean? So we're going to reward you for that. So there's no – what's the penalty for losing? What's the penalty for losing to LSU and Alabama? Because – once you get into eight teams, you're going to have multiple lost teams.
Yep.
It's not going to be eight undefeated teams. You know, it's not going to be like that. So you're going to have multiple lost teams. Okay, what's the penalty then for losing? At what point do you penalize a program and say
because
winning matters?
If you go to eight, you're not going to stop at eight.
Because
then
it
will be 12, it will be 16, it will be,
and that,
you know,
ninth,
whatever.
And that ninth and tenth team are not going to be happy about we deserve or whatever like that.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, if you do go to eight-team playoff, obviously the non-Power Fives are who benefits from all this. Because now they can find a way into getting a piece
they
of pie.
They get one.
Yeah, they get one
they
now.
They get one.
Yeah. But I don't like all the guarantees. Well, we need all the Power Five champions. All right, so if Pitt would have won the ACC, they should be in the playoff?
No.
I wouldn't.
No.
I mean, you want that system too? We got to have the Power Five chance. So Pitt 7-5, they'd have been 8-5 if they'd have won. That's who you want in the playoff?
No thanks.
Not me.
I'll pass. We'll do a little world famous buy or sell when we return. Hey, Falcon fans, if you need a place to watch a game, go to the official Atlanta Falcons Arizona game day party at Taco Mac on Cumberland. Starting at noon tomorrow, ton of Falcon prizes and giveaways to be given out during the game. Freddie the Falcon will be there. Falcon cheerleaders will be there. And Falcon alumni will also be on site. Also, Taco Mac Cumberland is a Toys for Tots donation site for the Marine Corps Reserves. Bring a toy, come hang out, watch the game, and party with Sports Radio 92.9 The Game during the Falcons game tomorrow. That is at Taco Mac Cumberland. Buy or sell with John Chuckery when we return on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time now for John Chuckery's often imitated but never duplicated world-famous buy or sell segment.
Welcome back in the Kia studio. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. College football game time. It's Go Forth and Chuckery hanging out with you. It's our buy or sell. Trying to read my sponsor here. Oh boy, yeah, there's not one.
Still. You sure that didn't get lost?
Yeah,
Brian just didn't give it to you.
I did see some of the sales staff last night, and they didn't have anything for me. So our intrepid producer, he's still here. Brian is going to partake in a little buy or sell with us. This is where we ask some questions to the guys in the world of college football. Let's start with our guest, Brian Gebhardt. Brian, Central Florida will be a preseason top 10 team next year, buy or sell. Central Florida will be a preseason top 10 team next year, buy or sell.
Yeah, I'll buy that because the first six or seven, I think, are pretty much already slotted regardless what happened to these bowl games. And I think they'll get in there at that 9 or 10 spot just to start them off in the right spot.
Chris Goforth, Central Florida will be a preseason top 10 team next year. Buy or sell?
Yeah, I'll buy it. Like Brian said, I think it's 9th or 10th is the best they can hope for.
Well, their quarterback's only a freshman, so they're going to get him back for sure. So, Chris Goforth, Arkansas and Louisville will each at least win one conference game next year. They, of course, finished 0-16 in their respective conferences. Arkansas and Louisville will each at least win a conference game next year, buy or sell?
I will sell that.
Wow.
One of them will win.
But not
at least one, but not both.
Wow. Brian Gebhardt, Arkansas and Louisville, who combined to go 0-16 in their conferences this year, both of them will win at least a conference game next year, buy or sell?
I'm going to sell that as well. I think Arkansas doesn't win a conference game next year. I think Louisville will find a way to win an ACC game.
It's taking a little longer at Arkansas to rework that roster.
They should already cancel Arkansas and Mississippi next year. Like, they should already cancel that game.
That's ugly.
Like they should
find
ugly. They should predict when a hurricane is coming through and schedule the game that week so it can just be canceled. Brian Gebhardt, buy or sell, Will Muschamp will be South Carolina's coach in 2021. Buy or sell, Will Muschamp still South Carolina head coach in 2021.
I'm going to buy that. I think he's going to be there for the long haul. Didn't work out at Florida. I don't think he's going to get another big time type of program. And I think South Carolina is going to be all right with him winning, six, seven, eight, nine games every year. So I'm going to buy that.
Chris Goforth, Will Muschamp will be the South Carolina head coach in 2021.
Yep.
Buy or sell?
Yep, I'll buy it too. I'll buy it too.
Very emphatic. Mm-hmm. Good, I like that. Chris Goforth, the Big 12 adds two teams by the year 2022. Buy or sell? The Big 12 adds two additional teams by the year 2022.
Wow.
Buy or sell?
You know, I'm just not hearing enough out there in regards to conference expansion. And normally we start to hear rumblings 18 or so months in advance before things start to happen. I'm not hearing enough of it right now, so I'll sell that.
Brian Gebhardt, the Big 12 will add two teams by the year 2022, buy or sell?
I'm going to buy that, and I think one of the teams is who you brought up earlier about being ranked next year. Central Florida, they've been, rumored as one of those teams. Big market down in Orlando, big recruiting area. And I also think there's going to be more pressure as the playoffs do expand for the Big 12 to get more teams in there.
Brian Gebhardt, I got lots of Big 12 stuff here today. Texas will be the preseason Big 12 pick to win it. Texas will be the preseason Big 12 pick to win it next year. There's a lot of stuff to be dumped in there if I'm not careful.
I'm gonna buy that. I think the hype for Texas is gonna be pretty high, especially if they hang with Georgia in the Sugar Bowl, even if it's close. I mean, if they get blown out, they'll probably still even be the Big 12 pick. But I think they kind of keep this game relatively close, and I think there's gonna be a heavy hype train for Tom Herman and crew next season.
Chris Goforth, Texas will be the preseason Big 12 pick next season.
I guess I'll buy that. I kind of agree with Brian, but at the same time, I also look at Oklahoma and go, my gosh, is it just plug and play there with that offense? I mean, they just, whoever the next guy is that steps in at quarterback,
yeah,
he's going to put up Heisman-like numbers too. And if that's the case, then I don't think you can count them out. But I kind of agree with Brian. I think the hype train around Tom Herman in Texas, regardless of how the game against Georgia goes in the bowl, there's going to be a huge momentum push and swing behind Texas football this summer.
It does feel like they can plug and play a quarterback, and Lincoln Riley is the right guy.
He's the best play caller in college football.
Yeah, I mean, that's the right guy to do it. Chris Goforth, Notre Dame will join the ACC in football in the next 10 years. Notre Dame will join the ACC officially in football in the next 10 years.
They need to. They need to.
Has this year ruined them ever getting into a conference? That could be the buy or sell question.
Yeah.
Let's do that. Let's buy or sell that. Has this year ruined the chance that Notre Dame ever joins a conference now?
Well, I think now they've proven they can get there, that they can do it as truly an independent. And they seem to be so, when you hear Swarbrick talk and the folks around Notre Dame, they are just so hardcore in maintaining their national independence and playing that national schedule. I don't ever see them joining a conference.
Yeah, and thumbing their nose at everybody else. So Brian Gebhardt this year ruined any idea of Notre Dame joining a football conference by herself.
I buy that 100%. And it's all about that NBC TV contract, that they're able to control their own games, their own TV schedule, all of that. And again, as these playoffs expand, because they will at some point, there's no reason for them to join a conference if we have all these at-large bids that are going to be involved with some of these eight teams that are picked.
Why share that TV money if you don't have to?
And I think it is smart that the way they set it up, guys, is to get, what is it, five or six ACC games. So they aren't in the ACC, but they are playing a de facto ACC schedule.
Right.
So you get to see them against a lot of the same teams that Clemson or Georgia Tech or Miami or whoever are going to play. So it gives you a barometer, like this year, you know, you get a better barometer of how good Notre Dame is. You say, okay, well, they went on the road and beat Virginia Tech. They went on the road and beat Syracuse. You know what I mean? They beat Wake Forest or whatever. I mean, they're going to play a lot of those same teams. So I think it's savvy the way that they make sure that they quasi-align themselves with the ACC. But as long as they win, they don't get the penalty.
Yeah, we're committed, but.
Yeah, right. Yeah. They're not losing. So Brian Gebhardt, as we buy or sell here in the Key Studios on our unpromoted, unsponsored college football show with our unpromoted, unsponsored college football segment, buy or sell. Brian Gebhardt, a non-Power 5 team, will make the playoffs ever. A non-Power 5 team will make the playoff ever.
The way it is currently constructed,
mm-hmm.
No, I will sell that.
Chris Goforth, a non-Power 5 team will make the playoff ever. As currently constructed, buy or sell.
If we, as currently constructed, mm-hmm. being the key phrase there, I will sell that as well. I don't think anybody out of the group of five has a snowball's chance the way it's currently set up.
I think you would be lucky to see a non-Power 5 team, unless they've built up a couple of years of cachet, even get to about six.
Yeah,
I don't think they can play a schedule.
If UCF runs the table again next year, where are they ranked right now?
Sixth.
This time a year ago. You think, yeah, that's. I would say that.
I mean, I don't think they. I mean, do you really think that they leapfrog over Georgia or Ohio State or Oklahoma or anybody like that?
No.
Not when you've beaten Cincinnati and Central or South Florida and teams like that.
And we could talk about this later, but here's the deal. If you're Central Florida, at some point in time, man, you've got to bite the bullet. And you got to go play some of those 2-for-1 games.
Yeah, what's wrong with the offer Florida put on the table? What's wrong with playing a 2-for-1?
Right, and they don't want to do that. But look at what Boise has done. Boise's done 2-for-1s with Florida State.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've several programs they've got 2-for-1 situations, you know, contracts with where they're going twice to their house. You're coming to their place once. If you're Central Florida, you're going to have to do that. That's how the system
or
is set up.
Get involved in some of these beginning of the year neutral site games. You know, Boise played Georgia to start the year.
Yep.
Get
Good
involved.
Point.
Go
Good
to
point.
Get
Good
involved
point.
In going to Jerry's World. Get involved in going to Orlando, you know, for one of those big kickoff games. Get involved in those things.
Here it is, John. I knew I had it in my notes somewhere. Boise has 2-for-1 scheduled against Florida State, Michigan State, and Ohio State.
Okay. That's what you should do.
That's exactly right.
Let's see here. Who did I start with? I guess I'm on to Chris Goforth here. Virginia Tech will be the preseason ACC Coastal favorites.
Ooh.
By herself. Virginia Tech will be the preseason ACC Coastal favorite by herself. That division is awful.
That's putrid.
And I'm not even saying Miami. I mean, I think Miami stunk it up enough to where nobody's going to give them the benefit of the doubt for next year.
Gosh.
And Jackson will be back at quarterback for Virginia Tech.
Yeah, I'll buy it, but confidence level very low. Confidence level very low, but I will buy it.
Brian Gebhardt, Virginia Tech will be the preseason ACC Coastal favorites going into next season, buy or sell.
Is this one of those, can I just leave it on the shelf? Do I have to buy it?
Do I have to sell it?
Yeah, you got to put
your elf on the shelf and move it around, baby.
That's the reason why I said confidence low with this one,
Gosh, Brian. I'll sell it. You know, I think I think Rick might.
They'll think Miami.
I
huh?
think they'll cobble okay. enough of a recruiting class together that they'll figure it out.
I think they smelled it up so bad that no one's going to give them the benefit of the doubt. Brian Gebhardt, buy or sell Matt Campbell is the Iowa State head coach in 2020. Buy or sell Matt Campbell is the, of course, Perry High School graduate. My dad's alma mater from Canton, Ohio. His dad was our varsity football coach at Jackson High School. Matt Campbell will be the Iowa State head football coach in 2020 by herself.
I'll sell it. There's going to be a program out there for him. And if not, you know, maybe.
Or an NFL team.
Or, I was just about to say, or Sunday gives him a call. So I think he's out of there after
Chris,
next year.
Go forth. Matt Campbell is the Iowa State head coach in 2020 by herself.
I'm selling that. He ends up somewhere very quickly.
Finally, Chris, go forth. DeAndre Swift will be second-team preseason All-American going into next year because I think Travis Etienne is going to be one of the running backs. Now my brain just went dead who I had as my other running back. Jonathan Taylor.
Right.
So I think those two guys are your preseason All-American running backs. DeAndre Swift, preseason second-team All-American, buy or sell?
I gotta think of who all has. Yeah, I'll buy that. I'll buy that.
You got a J.K. Dobbins up in Ohio State. Benny's gone, right?
Benny's
is
gone.
Travion Williams gone too.
I think Williams is gone
too. Buy or sell? DeAndre Swift, second team All American.
Yeah, I'll buy it.
Brian Gebhardt, DeAndre Swift, second team preseason All American. Buy or sell?
I'll buy that, and especially if the voters take a look at what that offensive line is going to look like for Georgia next year as well. So
Let him have a big sugar bowl or something too, and put his name into the mix. And that is buy or sell.
The soon to be sponsored buy or sell. The world famous.
Is that coming with my promotion?
It is.
More likely to happen. Me promoted, a sponsor for our show, I marry Wendy Corona. Which one of those things is
Can I rank those?
Buy or sell.
We'll take a look at today's bowl games and the games going on the rest of this week. It is college football game time. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back inside the Kia Studios, today is the first day of the college football bowl season. There's six games on tap today. A couple of more coming up scattered throughout the week. We'll touch on a couple of them. Let's start with the Air Force Reserve Celebration Bowl. North Carolina A&T against Alcorn State. That is a 12 o'clock game on ABC. Our guy, Randy McMichael, little national radio today.
Yeah.
He's
our thanks to Brian Estridge for
he's growing up right before our eyes, John. He's growing up.
Yeah,
flying away.
He is. Our baby's growing up.
North Carolina A&T trying to go back-to-back in this game. Alcorn State, interestingly enough, coached by Steve McNair's brother. Steve McNair, the former Titans quarterback, fantastic, a ridiculous career at Alcorn State as a player. His brother is now the head coach there. New Mexico Bowl has Utah State against North Texas. Utah State's head coach, Matt Wells, he leaves for Texas Tech. Seth Luttrell, we talked about him at North Texas. He's a guy that hasn't left yet, but eventually he's going to get his opportunity to go to a big program. North Texas trying to win 10 games for the first time in school history. They'll have to beat a Utah State team that can score a bunch of points. They average, over 47 a game?
Yeah, Jordan Love, their quarterback's had a really good year. I mean, this is a really good matchup with a really good North Texas defense against a team in Utah State that's got a good offense with a really good quarterback. North Texas, people may remember, beat Arkansas earlier
right.
this year. So remember that
punt return,
yeah,
right?
The simulated fair catch or whatever it was, and he ran it back for a touchdown. So that, to me, is going to be what's the interesting matchup is North Texas defense against Jordan Love in the Utah State offense. Can they slow them down? But North Texas is a program that's been going in the right direction, and you know, maybe you stay. Some guys, believe it or not, like those kinds of jobs and programs. I'm not telling you if, you know, Florida called and said, hey, come coach
Florida.
Look at how long Chris Peterson stayed at Boise.
Right.
I mean, how many times did people have him leaving Boise and going someplace else? And there were a lot of extenuating circumstances there for him, family and otherwise, that he didn't want to leave. But, you know, he stayed there a lot longer than what a lot of people thought.
You think the coach at North Texas looks at the landscape of the Big 12 and says, Kansas State and Manhattan, Kansas just can't compete with everybody else? The way West Virginia is, the way Iowa State is, Oklahoma and Texas aren't going anywhere. You know, Les Miles is now in-state there as well. You think you start looking at that program and say, eh, I know what Bill Snyder did for Kansas State, but, you know, I mean, in the pecking order of that, and I understand it's a Big 12 job, but maybe just look at that and say, let me wait and see how the tea leaves shake out.
Yeah, I think there's something to be said. I can stay here and win 10 games and be the man for another year, keep this thing going, and then let's see what, you know, when does another job in the Pac-12 open up? When does the axe finally fall at LSU?
Right.
You know, when does the axe finally fall, and I still think it will, at Missouri? You know, there's going to be some opportunities for him in the next year, 2 years maybe, that I think just puts you in a better situation to win than taking one of those jobs in Kansas.
Right.
The Cure Bowl has Tulane against Louisiana Lafayette, two teams from the state of Louisiana that will travel to Orlando to play each other. Last time they played, it was a good game, four overtimes back in 2016. Tulane, though, has dominated this. I mean, this longtime rivals and the Green Wave have been dominant.
But these are not two good teams, though.
No,
I think both teams, if I remember, both teams have actually given up more points than what they've scored on the season. Even though they have winning records, I think they've given up more points than they've scored. So not very good teams.
Best game of the day is the Las Vegas Bowl. Fresno State against Arizona State. You got Herm Edwards going against Jeff Tedford. Two pretty good coaches.
Yeah, and look, Fresno State's kind of flown under the radar this year, Chris, and you know that they're always going to be a good offensive group. And give credit, because I didn't like that hire when Tedford, you know, old Cal coach, he was there for, that was Aaron Rodgers and Marshawn Lynch's coach at Cal. You know, he was a guy that really fought the idea of running a spread offense and all that. Very old school in running a pro-style type of offense. He ran at Cal and was really had to fight the idea of coming into this new world of college football. But we talked about his quarterback, McMarion, has been terrific this year. They've kind of flown under the radar. You know, they had an opportunity there for a while that some people thought maybe they'd get one of those Big Six bowl games or whatever like that. Watch out. I really think Fresno State pulls the upset here. I don't even know if it's an upset. I don't know what the line. Brian can tell you what the betting line is. But I'm not going to be surprised at all. Fresno State goes in here and wins this game today.
Tedford was the guy. If you go back like 2007, 8, 9 in that ballpark, after Rodgers had left and Lynch had left, Tedford kind of became – he was a hot name.
Oh, yeah.
in the NFL
because he ran that kind of offense in college.
And he turned down a lot of opportunities to either interview or possibly take jobs elsewhere and chose to stay at Cal. And he's the guy I always used to say about as a coach that, you know, that sexy moniker for you is only there for so long. You're only the prettiest girl in class as a coach for so long. So when you get the offer for the big money, you better take it, because he's case in point. He stayed at Cal too long, ends up getting fired, and now he's at Fresno State.
And when this job came open a few years ago, I really thought the guy that was going to get hired for this job was Lane Kiffin, who's a Fresno State alum. And when people are talking about him making that next coaching move, I really thought that Lane Kiffin would get the Fresno job, and that's who I thought they'd really go after, bring an alum home and bring him back out there. But give Tedford credit, because a lot of people scratched their head and said, is this really the guy to lead our program? A kind of an old, washed-up kind of coach that I think he was out of coaching, was he not, Chris? I think he was out of coaching.
No, he was out.
Yeah, he was completely out of coaching before he came back, and he's got Fresno ranked out there. It's been a good year for Herm. I think maybe we underestimated some of the players that he has, and guys like Eno Benjamin, who I think Benjamin might have led the conference of Pac-12 in rushing when it's all said and done this year. You know, it's been a mixed bag at times for them, but I'm not going to be surprised at all if Fresno State beats them today in this game.
The Camellia Bowl has Georgia Southern against Eastern Michigan. We mentioned this earlier when Randy was with us back in the first hour of the show. It is college football game time here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game from the Kia Studios. Georgia Southern, only 5 turnovers all year.
Yeah, they'll keep Eastern Michigan off the field in this game today.
You go from, 2-10 last year, and now they have a chance to win 10 games for the first time. They win today. This will be their 10th win of the season, first time they've been able to do that since joining the FBS.
So can this program down the street here do that?
Georgia State?
The other Sun Belt team as we go around the Sun Belt?
You know, here's what you have at Georgia State, I think. Look, Georgia Southern has a huge history and tradition, and that's something that you have to develop, and I think they will. They can be. They're in,
That program right down the street plays all the same games as Southern teams playing.
And you can throw a rock in this city and hit a guy that has got, 4.45 speed. So the recruits are there. The recruiting base is there.
And as we talked about last week, I think that's the program down the street that's going to get hurt by Georgia Tech and what Jeff Collins is going to do. It ain't going to be Georgia. It's going to be Georgia State. Because a lot of those kids that would have maybe thought about coming to State because they didn't want to play in that system over there on North Avenue, now all of a sudden they look up and say, this guy who can get me on this guy can get me to play on Sundays if I go to that program over there. Maybe I think I'd much rather be in the ACC.
Yeah.
If I'm comparable, and I'm going to run a more kind of modern day type of system offensively and defensively.
I could see that. I could definitely see that. But again, everything is in place, I think, for Georgia State to be successful. They've got an athletic director that knows it. He's a guy that understands facilities. I think he understands hiring coaches. He understands how to guide a football program. The job that Charlie Cobb did at Appalachian State is what they are today because of the job that he did and Jerry Moore, who was the longtime football coach there. But they set Appalachian State up to have the success that they enjoy now. So
I think we look at Southern and App State and say it was time for them to move up the division.
There was nothing else left to accomplish.
Right, right.
And more importantly than anything else, they actually had the fan bases to support that move.
Right.
Appalachian State was putting 20,000+ into, what's the name of that stadium? Kid Brewer Stadium in Boone. Every week, Georgia Southern, if you have never been to a game in Statesboro, it is an absolute spectacle.
It's absolutely
One of the coolest atmospheres for college football that I've ever been to. And again, they got a rabid fan base, and those people turn out. That's how they were able to make that move, is because they had the fan support.
And they've stayed true to their, other than the Brian Van Gorder experiment, they've stayed true to their identity about what they are and what they run and their offense. I mean, they stay true to their identity. You got to give them credit. I mean, that's hard to do for a lot of programs like that. Obviously outside the Naval academies and Air Force and things like that, and Army. But they've stayed true to their identity. Other than the Brian Van Gorder, failed experiment, they stay true to who they are and what they are. They'll keep Eastern Michigan off the field today and win this game.
Last game coming up today, 9 o'clock kick on ESPN. It's the New Orleans Bowl, MTSU against Appalachian State.
Now, Satterfield is not here, right?
Correct.
Yeah, he's already up in Louisville.
Yes.
So have they?
They have an interim coach.
Right, have
I think
they named?
They have not named a permanent. They are still doing a search.
See, that's a good job.
That's
a good job to get your foot in the door if you're talking about, getting to that next level of program in there. Go to App State. That's been a good program, I think they've been a little bit overhyped. If you really look at their, they get that giant killer moniker because they beat Michigan. But by and large, if you look at their record against, since they've become a Division I team, their record against the big boys when they play them isn't very good. And they've gotten clobbered most times. But within that Sun Belt, they've been arguably, safe to say they've been the cream of the crop, right? Of the Sun Belt the last 2-3 years.
Oh, they have been.
They've been right there at the top. Them and Troy and Georgia Southern, that's kind of the cream of the crop of who these Sun Belt teams are out there.
And let me tell you,
if you can get guys to go to Boone, North Carolina, and play football, you sure as heck can get them in Metro Atlanta to come play football.
They got
to
take care of Middle Tennessee?
Brent Stockstill, heck of a quarterback at MTSU, playing his final game for his dad, who's the head coach there. It's a great story. This will be as good of a game as, I think, maybe not the game of the day. I still like that game with Arizona State later on against Fresno State. But let me tell you, MTSU and Appy State will be entertainment. It'll be entertainment.
I like these matchups.
Coming up top of the hour. So we have Bama, we have Clemson, we have Oklahoma, we have Georgia, we have Ohio State. Those five programs seem to have a stranglehold on the current college football playoff system. Can anybody else crack that top five and be able to squeeze into one of those playoff spots? We'll do it next. It's College Football Game Time, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.